And then when we wake up, well, most of us have been accustomed to breaking that fast, hence the term breakfast. Let's go.
The most energetic, fit, and stress-resilient people on the planet practice daily habits to keep their hormones balanced, their gut healthy, and their muscles and mind strong. Welcome to That Fitness Couple. We're Mike and Corey Beth Lepowski, founders of Pure Physique.
This podcast is designed to provide you with everything we've discovered and continue to discover about nutrition, training, and lifestyle. Today, we all live hectic lives.
So we've made it our mission to make your fitness time efficient and to build you up. Hope you share and enjoy. Let's dive into today's episode. Let's go.
Many of our listeners are probably well familiar at this point about intermittent fasting, or as we like to talk about it, time-restricted eating. But for those of you who are not, just to quickly give you a little overview on what it is, intermittent fasting or time-restricted eating is just simply taking a period of time in which you're deciding to do all of your feasting for the day, and then the rest of the time that you are not eating, well, that is your period of fasting. And so most of us fast when we go to bed at night and we have these several hours in a row where we are not doing anything but finishing all of the digesting and the absorbing of all the food that we ate throughout the day. And then when we wake up, well, most of us have been accustomed to breaking that fast, hence the term breakfast. And so we came on today because, well, we've been intermittent fasting or time-restricted eating for the better part of 5 years. And as of more recently, I've pretty much given up intermittent fasting. And I know that'll probably come to a shock to many of the people who know us and definitely are in our programs where we talk a lot about time-restricted eating and how this is a regular part of our diet. But this is something that recently, you know, I had to give it a lot of thought and decided that, well, I think now is the time to finally let this go. And so we're coming on today to talk a little bit about why it is that I'm leaving intermittent fasting behind, but Corey Beth, she's not going anywhere just yet.
Yeah, it's so funny. So it was 2018, about 5 years ago, that we discovered intermittent fasting in our search for no longer wanting to eat 5 to 6 bodybuilder style meals every single day. And for me, I was just coming off of a pregnancy with our second son. And I just really wanted to overcome a lot of the cravings and the extra calorie consumption that we can sometimes use as an excuse when we're pregnant or breastfeeding. But I was like, I really want to get back on track with this pregnancy. It was a better pregnancy overall than my first. And so I wanted to, again, give it a go. We're never going to recommend anything to our clients without trying it ourselves first. And so that really was how it came on. And for the better part of 5 years, yeah, it's been intermittent fasting. For me personally, what that looks like is I wake up in the morning, I will have my coffee, I'll have my no sugar happy juice. And then probably around anywhere from 11 to 1 o'clock, I will break my fast with my first meal. So that's 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. I'll have 2.5 meals and then we're done eating. I mean, we've been doing really good. Typically, it was like by 8 o'clock, we got back to 7 and we're finally this year on a really great schedule with the kids where we're usually done by 7 and it's closed up, done shop. And so it's 8 hours of feasting and 16 hours of not eating. And then I'll get into the only time that I would vary from that is during my cycle, you know, and especially more recently, I think in the beginning when we try something new, it's like, I got to follow it exactly. And I have to do it, you know, 16 hours and 8 hours and I can't break that. But I would say the last year, especially starting to track my menstrual cycle and what's happening and how I'm feeling, I'll eat, you know, if it's 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock and the kids are having breakfast and I'm like, yeah, I definitely need some food, you know, especially with the loss of iron. I will make sure that I make myself something and that would really be the only time that I stray from it.
Yeah, for myself, you know, intermittent fasting came about more for aesthetic purposes. Having decided to leave bodybuilding, but also being in a place where I wasn't quite 1000% happy with the way that I looked, I definitely wanted to find a different means of losing body fat. And at that time is when we started doing some ketogenic dieting. And within that community itself, there were a lot of people talking about intermittent fasting. So that's what first put it on my radar. And many were talking about it from the standpoint of it's a great fat loss solution. And so searching for something that didn't involve counting and measuring and, you know, doing multiple meals per day, it seemed pretty attractive to me, though I was definitely very hesitant at first about it I definitely had some concerns about going through a large portion of the day without consuming any protein or any calories in any form. And when I started implementing it, well, I noticed that my hunger went away, which was huge, that I no longer felt that I needed to eat every 3 hours. And granted, this did not all happen overnight. But what was awesome was that I'm losing body fat. I'm feeling really good. My energy is through the roof. Mental clarity was the best it had ever been, especially since I stopped eating breakfast and I was no longer eating one of those very heavy carbohydrate meals that would give me a quick shot of energy for about 15, 20 minutes. And then next thing I know, I was crashing hard. And so because of the success that I personally had with losing body fat, you know, I became a big fan of intermittent fasting. And again, we've been doing it now for 5 years, but now I'm starting to notice that some things are not always all they're cracked up to be. And although the fat loss had been significant, what I've been beginning to notice more and more lately is that my muscles have definitely been put at risk. And for me, this was like the big uh-oh type moment where I've heard other experts talk about, you know, intermittent fasting being great as a fat loss tool, but maybe not so great if you are trying to build muscle mass. And I know that many people who do extensive amounts of intermittent fasting don't do well in terms of building more muscle, but also they tend not to lose too much muscle. I personally think that I'm one of those people that has such a difficulty putting on muscle in the first place that anything I do that puts me at risk is probably not a good thing. And so in diving into more research recently, listening to some other experts on muscle development, muscle hypertrophy, you know, it's come to my realization that, hey, maybe I've been shortchanging myself in the muscle department because I'm not getting enough feedings of protein throughout the day. And so how do I counteract that? Well, the only way for me to ensure that I'm getting enough protein is to open up my feeding window. And so although I'm not going back to eating heavy carbohydrate breakfasts or anything like that, I have felt that it's been beneficial to start opening up my window sooner in the day, particularly with protein.
Well, this was not part of the script, but you know, the things that I've always wondered, and we've gotten different answers on them. So perhaps, Mike, you can answer this for me and the listener. It's that when we sit down to eat protein, there's a certain amount of protein that we need to consume for protein muscle synthesis. What approximately is that amount for men and women?
Yeah, actually, somebody else was just answering this question recently who is a protein researcher. It's Dr. Don Lehman, and he is very well known in the field. And his answer to this was, I found it very interesting. There has been some research showing that, well, depending upon your size, so as a female, you may only process 20 to 30 grams in a particular meal. If you are a male, you may process a little bit more than that. So maybe from 30 up to 50 grams within that meal. But it's not as if you eat more than that, it all goes to waste. What I was actually really surprised to hear him say was that the upper limit before it almost becomes pointless is about 60 grams. So not that you are going to absorb all of that at once. It's true. It's that your body can only break down so much protein at one time and then begin utilizing those amino acids. And then whatever doesn't get used winds up going into storage. But when it's stored as fat. It's not going to get stored as protein. In the same way we can consume carbohydrates and whatever we don't use will get stored as fat. When we consume fat, same thing. Whatever we can't use for energy gets stored as fat. Well, we don't store protein. And because we don't store protein, that means that the excess that we're taking in, although it's not harmful, although it has no negative side effects, is not going to provide for us any additional amino acids. But I think this is the one thing that is very important for everybody to understand, is that it's not about the amount of protein per se. See, our problem isn't a protein problem, it's an amino acid problem. And what happens is the protein that we consume gets broken down into amino acids. And these are the building blocks for our muscles, for our cells. And this is what contributes to a lot of our functioning organs. So we need high quality amino acids in our diet. So you can eat a lot of protein, but if it's a very poor source of protein, well, we're not getting all of the essential amino acids that our body requires. Now, in the same regard, we could eat less protein, but of really high quality, and we're going to get all of the essential amino acids that we need. And so that is why this question of, well, how much can I use in a meal? I mean, it's almost a moot point because it's so dependent upon the quality of what you're eating.
Yeah, I mean, that totally makes sense. And thank you for that very scientific explanation. You're so good at that. I think that that's the biggest thing that we wonder, you know, and maybe people don't wonder that. And guess what? You should wonder that, you know, how much protein should I be consuming? It's like when women say, I eat an egg. I'm like, an egg. How many protein grams are in an egg?
7.
Okay. So that's not enough. You know, for me personally, I'm always aiming for between 20 and 30 per serving. And so I just want to clarify what you're saying then for you personally is you feel like you're not able to get in your 30 to 50 in the hours that you're eating right now. So you're opening up your window so that you can get another serving of 30 to 50 in.
What I'm actually trying to do is to make sure that I'm getting a constant flow of amino acids to my muscles.
Love it.
And that's the difference. I could quite easily in 2 meals in the course of a day consume 150 grams of protein. That's not a problem. But going back to the research of Don Lehman, what he was saying and pointing to was that you can eat 150 grams, but that's only 2 times in the day that you're getting your body the essential amino acids that it needs. And we know from research on the elderly that the older we get, the more protein we need. But it's not just more protein in terms of volume. It really is about getting a constant flow of amino acids. Because when we start combining the way that we're eating with resistance training, especially, the resistance training is what triggers muscle protein synthesis. And this is the process where throughout the day and throughout the years, your body is constantly breaking down and utilizing protein, right? So you think about it like the bricks of a wall. This was Dr. Stu Phillips' example, which I always love. He said, if you think about your muscles or just even your body in general, right? We need all these proteins and each brick represents amino acids. But what happens is just like any wall that you would see on a side of a building, those bricks, if the building is not tended to, what happens? It starts to break down. But what would you do if you needed to build that wall back up? Well, you just start replacing those bricks. And that's the purpose of eating protein is we are constantly breaking down these amino acids to be used. And then they get lost. So we need to replace those bricks. And so we want to replace them at a frequency in which we can keep up the health of that wall. In this case, the health of our muscles, the health of our cells, and our body as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, that totally makes sense. So you're stopping intermittent fasting.
I'm going to say that I have given myself more flexibility. I still like it as a means of helping to control caloric intake. It works exceptionally well for that. It works exceptionally well for somebody who's coming from a very high carbohydrate diet to then shift to intermittent fasting to get their insulin levels down, which in turn is going to probably help most people with getting better control over their hunger. Obviously, it's going to help them with their blood sugar and their insulin, and that in turn is going to help them with fat loss. But I'm going to say that for me personally, I'm way past that point. You know, I don't need to be concerned about my insulin because number one, we don't eat a lot of carbohydrates, period. And then number two, I'm not an unhealthy, overweight person. But the one thing that does concern me now is that, you know, being in my mid-40s, I know that it only gets more and more difficult to maintain my muscle mass from now until forever. And so that my change has become more of where's my focus and what's more important? Is it more important to be leaner and carry less body fat? Or is it more important to carry as much muscle as possible? And that's where I've had a little bit of a shift in my way of thinking. I believe that it is more important to carry more muscle into our later years. And so I'm going to just put my focus there. So if that means that I would put on a little bit of body fat, but what I gain from it is a little bit more muscle than I had, then I'll take that. And I think because we have evidence of what our nutrition is doing to our bodies, meaning we test ourselves using our Fit3D scanner, and even though I'm not totally sold on it in terms of giving a very precise measure of lean body mass and fat mass, I could look at trends over the course of years and see that, well, if my lean mass has been averaging down for longer periods of time than it had maybe a decade ago, then that is cause for concern. So for me, I'm going to at least take this period of time to not intermittent fast, or at least not do it religiously like we have been doing for 5 years, and see if opening up my window and having more servings of protein throughout the day, does that help my lean mass when I go to test on the Fit3D scanner? And if it starts moving up in a positive direction, then I know that this was the right decision for me.
Yeah. Hey, listen, that totally makes sense. And here's what I think is so valuable for those listening. Our priorities can change. And I love that you're in a season now, again, based on where our age is and thinking about longevity, it's always important to hold on to muscle mass. And I would say that was one of the better conversations I got to have out on this business retreat with a group of women. You know, they're like, okay, tell us about your gym and like, what about this online program? And, you know, is your focus fat loss? And I'm like, yeah, but it's really about maintaining muscle mass and it's really about improving bone density. And they were all leaning in, like nobody's having this conversation. So the fact, Mike, that you want to come on and talk about this, I think is so valuable. Hey, we hope you're enjoying our show and finding it valuable. If you could do us a quick favor, it would mean the world to us. Please take a moment to rate and review our podcast on your favorite platform. Your reviews help us reach more people and share our message. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Thanks for being awesome and supporting us. Now, back to the show. You know, I think when we look at intermittent fasting as a whole, it is incredibly valuable for a multitude of reasons. And yes, definitely, it is an effective way of losing fat used regularly, properly, and consistently. And then, of course, there's been research that's pointed to improved Alzheimer's pathology, which I think that's pretty fascinating. And we know that Alzheimer's and dementia is more of a metabolic issue that has a lot more to do with our diet than we've ever realized before in human history. So I think that that, especially as we age, is very valuable for people. Of course, it does lower our insulin and does assist with type 2 diabetes. So no matter what reason you have looked at or are looking at intermittent fasting, I think it's valuable, as Mike has shown, to really look at the priority. What are you focusing on right now? For me, to get over those cravings was huge, because I'll tell you specifically, after giving birth to Grayson, our second son, wanting to head into the pantry, wanting to snack, wanting to, again, our brain will justify all the reasons why it's okay to, and then you fill in the blank. Having that window where I'm like, all right, I'm done by 8 o'clock. I couldn't go in at 9 o'clock and eat something. I couldn't do my typical stay up until 2 o'clock in the morning and do work and decide to like go have pretzels and peanut butter at midnight. None of that is healthy or helpful. And so for me, it did initially provide me with that structure, where later on, I would say 2020 on, it just provided me with consistency and stability, especially through the pandemic. We totally maintained weight, fat, everything, you know, through being home and being confined. And then beyond that, for me, it's just something that I enjoy. I enjoy having the mental clarity to get into the office earlier in the day, getting my work in, just again, having the clarity of coffee and happy juice. And then beyond that, yeah, I am hungry. And I think that for me, with my 30-pound weight loss journey, it's that I do eat when I am hungry and I stop way before I'm full. So in essence, intermittent fasting has really helped me to be intuitive with my eating, to note my body is needing fuel, my body is fueled up. And here's another cool hack, you know, for people that maybe are concerned about the amount of protein they are or aren't getting in a serving. When we look at something simple like eggs, you know, 6 grams of protein per egg, it's why I will recommend 4, 5, 6 eggs in a sitting. For someone that's having a protein powder, we love whey protein powder. And instead of just doing one scoop, or maybe you're getting 10 or 15 grams of protein, I'll go ahead and do 3 scoops and make sure that I have 30 grams of protein in my shake. So there are really simple ways to make sure in that sitting you are getting what you're needing, but I do see, Mike, where you're at and where your focus is. And so I think it'll be quite interesting as we continue this journey for you to be having breakfast. And I'm so good not having it.
Well, first off, let me just clarify. I'm still not having breakfast. I'm not getting up and eating first thing in the morning. That is still not part of my routine. All it means is that I've started eating earlier. So sometimes when I now work out, I'm feeling hungrier soon after working out. And for me, that is an indicator that I should be taking in something, because I know that on a hormonal level, I'm in good balance. I'm not needing to get myself into balance, because I'll say this, when we first started intermittent fasting, the one thing that I definitely struggled with was hunger at those times of days where typically I used to eat. So because it was wake up in the morning and eat something at 6, 6:30, that's what I got myself accustomed to. And anybody who starts time-restricted eating or intermittent fasting for the first time will probably notice that even though you've set now a schedule for yourself, what typically winds up happening is those times in which you were accustomed to eating, maybe about 30 minutes before that time, you're going to start feeling hungry. That's your body releasing the hormone ghrelin, which essentially tells you it's time to eat. And now what you're doing is you are intentionally ignoring that signal. Now, it's not a bad thing because, again, a lot of that signaling happened because of conditioning. You've conditioned your body to release those hormones around those periods of time. So once you move past that, that's when, and I know we don't necessarily love the term intuitive eating, right? Because most people's intuition is to go and sit down and eat a bag of chips. But when you're now working out and you're recognizing like, oh, wait, I actually feel like I need something right now. Like, don't ignore that signal. That is your body telling you that you probably need something. Just what becomes very important is what do you go and have? And in this instance, I'm just going for beef sticks or protein in some form, just to get me over that hump of feeling hungry, knowing that after my workout, I'm entering into muscle protein synthesis. I got to make sure that I am providing now for the next 24 hours, all of the protein that my body needs so it could get all of the amino acids that it needs so that I could properly recover from that workout and actually get something from it.
One quick question, and then one I know people are dying to actually know the answer to. So the first is, do you work out fasted typically?
Yes.
Okay. That's okay. I love working out fasted personally.
I feel great.
It's my preference. Yeah.
Yeah. Me too.
People get nervous about it. Like, oh my gosh. Right. And then of course there was that myth, like, you know, you have to get all your protein in within an hour of finishing working out. And we know that that's been busted. We don't have to worry about that. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and that's where that 24-hour rule comes in. It's not about this anabolic window that closes an hour or 90 minutes after your workout. There's no such thing. It's like once you turn muscle protein synthesis on, now the goal is keep feeding your body the protein that it needs. And so, yes, most of the research points to as long as you're getting enough within a 24-hour period, then you're good to go.
I love that. Okay. And then the last thing that you brought up earlier on was about amino acids and making sure that we're getting a full spectrum of essential amino acids. And so for me, way before you, having been a vegetarian for 2 full years, you know, I knew that I was not getting, I didn't know at the time, but now I know I was not getting in all of my essential amino acids. So can you just give us some examples of high quality amino acids, full essential amino acids, and then maybe some foods where amino acids are lacking?
Well, let me talk about this, that the amino acid that is most important for us with respect to our muscular health is leucine. And you're only going to find leucine in animal proteins. So this is why, you know, is it possible to follow a vegan or a vegetarian diet and get all of the amino acids that you need?
No.
Well, the answer actually is yes. You can, but you got to be very creative. And you also have to make sure that you are consuming almost double the amount of protein that a person who's eating a more animal-based diet would have to eat. Because at the end of the day, you know, the most bioavailable forms of protein that we're going to get come from animal proteins. And so when you mentioned whey protein earlier, I mean, that's been like one of the most widely tested forms of protein, and it's been known to be probably the best protein when it comes to helping us with our muscle development as well as our muscle maintenance because of how much leucine is in it. You know, for those who are not eating animal protein, they're not getting any type of dairy, you know, they are definitely missing out on a significant amount of leucine. And the only other way to get that would be to supplement with it in most cases. So I think that when we start going down the list, and I mean, there's like 9 essential amino acids, you know, you are going to get the bulk of them in the most bioavailable form just from eating those animal proteins.
Yeah, well, so back to me saying, no, you're not going to get everything from a vegetarian or vegan diet. It's that you have to consume so much food in order to get that protein. So just give people an idea of what on earth that would look like. Because it was not possible for me.
Yeah, no. I mean, a lot of people will point to, let's see, what
chickpeas.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going
tofu.
For. Chickpeas. Let's just use chickpeas. Okay, so let's use this example comparing chickpeas or lentils to beef. Now, in one cup of lentils, you have 0.6 grams of leucine. And in a cup of chickpeas, you have about 0.4 grams of leucine. Now, compare that with beef. 3 ounces, which is not a lot, it's a small amount of meat, is 1.8 grams. So that is a significant difference. Now, the thing is that we need this leucine, right? And if we're going to eat vegan or vegetarian, then we're really going to have to pack it in if we're going to get these amounts of leucine that compare with our animal products. So again, putting into perspective, our chickpeas, you would have to eat 4.5 cups of chickpeas in order to get the same amount of leucine that's in just 3 ounces of beef. You would have to eat 3 cups of lentils to get what you get in 3 ounces of beef. Now, here's the other thing. If you're eating 4.5 cups of chickpeas, that's 800 calories and 45 grams of fiber.
Oh my gosh.
Good luck with that. I mean, your stomach's going to be wrecked, and chances are you are not moving off the toilet just so that you could get 1.8 grams of leucine. And that's why there is no comparison. Like, and I get it. Some people, you know, they don't like eating lots of meat. It's not their thing. And that's all well and good. Point is that you're not going to get away from needing some forms of these proteins in order to just hit what is essential for your body. And so that's fine. You don't have to be a meat eater. If you like dairy, you could get it in dairy products. If you were to use a whey protein powder, you can get it there as well. So there are options for people outside of just, you know, eating carnivore like we might. But the point being is that you can't get away from it. Like, you're never going to hit these upper limits, or I should say these lower limits of what your body requires if you're not eating some form of animal proteins.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I remember a long time ago, I coached a friend actually through a marathoning actually as a vegetarian athlete. And it was like, I always cringed because I'm like, oh my gosh, like, how are we going to make sure he gets in this protein? Like, how are we going to make sure that he is fueling and feeding his muscles? And so he would choose a lot of options like tofu and tempeh and everything else. And again, like, we always squeaked by each day to get him there. Whereas I would say on a more animal-based diet, and again, for whatever philosophical reasons or health reasons, which, yeah, I think if you're listening here, we've destroyed a lot of the health reasons why people would avoid red meat. But maybe if it's more of like a philosophical thing, which I totally respect, you know, it just makes it harder. It's trickier to go that route. And so I appreciate you coming with those facts, because now I understand why after 2 years of eating that way, I didn't feel my best self. I didn't feel weak. You know, so with this, I think we'll give some closing thoughts. And we really just want for you, you know, if you're like, okay, intermittent fasting, time restricted eating, what does that look like? Here's how we recommend you start. You know, give it a good 90 days. 90 days really helps to stabilize out blood sugars, insulin, hormones in your body. And if you're scared to begin, just do a 12-12. That's 12 hours of eating, 12 hours of fasting. And what that looks like is you go to bed at 9 o'clock and then you wake up in the morning and you don't have your breakfast until 9 a.m. Or maybe you're done eating by 6 p.m. your dinner and then you wake up and eat at 6 a.m. And that's so simple. And then from there, we would slowly push clients to more of like a 16-8 where autophagy happens. And that just tends to be, you know, an ideal place to be if you want to try out time restricted eating. For me personally, it's been really helpful. I love the structure of it. I don't think our kids think anything strange about it. I love sitting and having a cup of coffee with them while they have their breakfast, which they enjoy very much, their high protein breakfast. And I think for a lot of people, it's a very effective way of helping to control sugar cravings, hunger, hormones, weight loss, and again, just giving you more structure if that's what you need.
Yeah, I just want to end with 2 quick points here. First, make it clear that although I have parted from intermittent fasting somewhat, you know, I'm still not force feeding myself to eat. This is still very different than those 5 to 6 meals per day where everything was strict timing. This is more along those lines of, hey, in this season, when I feel like I need it, I'm going to have it. But also, I'm not going to force the issue. The second thing I wanted to bring up, just because we didn't give any specifics around it, but for those who are probably wondering, hold on a second, you kind of left me hanging with the leucine thing, like how much leucine am I supposed to get? And generally speaking, most people should be consuming between 3 and 5 grams of leucine per day. So once again, just to put all of that in perspective, you know, with 6 to 8 ounces of beef, you're going to quite easily get that amount, where you're going to have to eat a significant amount of plant-based foods in order to come even close to that with respect to those amounts of 3 to 5 grams per day.
Thanks for tuning in. If you're a busy working parent like us, you understand the daily challenges. Our mission is to make exercise and nutrition simple and exciting, helping you and your family thrive even on the busiest days. We've got a fantastic free 5-day online challenge that's tailor-made for super busy people like you.
If you like a high-vibe workout environment with professional coaching, swing by one of our franchise studios for a free intro workout.
Check the show notes for details or head on over to purephysique.com when you have a moment. We know those moments are rare.
Until next time, lift weights, eat meat, and never forget, you were created on purpose for a purpose. All in all, it's just
another brick in the wall. Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.